when you flew your last rocket, you lost it. What are you going to do this time?
Well, this time, the rocket range itself has got a radar system. So independent of whether we lose the transmission signal from our telemetry system or not, the range safety officer will know where the rocket lands and will be able to send a truck out to pick it up. There's no doubt that we will find this one, even if it doesn't work. Which brings us to the telemetry.
What's telemetry, Mark?
Telemetry is where we've got a transmitter on board the rocket, and any data that we get from sensors such as accelerometers, pressure sensors and cameras is relayed back down to the ground station where we can store it and later use that to work out how the rocket flight went.
And you're also going to be bringing back television, I believe.
Yeah, on board we'll have a CCD video camera, and that will be transmitting back live information from the rocket as it lifts off and goes up into the blue.
And you're going to record those pictures?
Yeah, that'll be recorded on probably two video recorders on the ground, just to make sure we don't miss out on this sort of imagery. It's we're hoping that that video work will come out quite good, because the kind of effects we're expecting, it should be very spectacular.
So we should be able to watch a liftoff from Woomera live?
Yeah, well, they've got race cam, they've got tennis cam, now they've got rocket cam.
Rocket cam, well.
Yeah, also on board we've got, as I mentioned earlier, we have pressure sensors giving us atmospheric pressure, and we get a dynamic pressure, and the device that gives us this is called a pitot tube, and from that we can get a velocity from just the difference in air pressures. We've also got a pressure sensor in the combustion chamber, and whenever you travel up around high Mach numbers or greater than Mach 1, you get aerodynamic heating effects. So up in the nose we've got numerous temperature sensors to tell us what sort of profile and what sort of temperatures we're going to get up around the tip.
So Mach 1 is the speed of sound?
Yeah. We're expecting to reach a maximum speed of 2,500 kilometres per hour.
And the speed of sound is?
1,100. So we're aiming for about Mach 2.3.
So just over twice the speed of sound.
Yeah. The recovery system on the rocket consists of one 24-foot diameter parachute. Now that will be deployed in a two-stage system. The first stage is a small 1 meter diameter balut parachute, and it's a very rugged device, because when it's deployed at apogee, the rocket's travelling almost the speed of sound, and whenever a parachute is deployed at that speed, it has to be very strong to withstand the severe aerodynamic loads imparted to it by the vehicle. Then when the rocket gets down to an altitude of about 3,000 metres, a pyrotechnic line cutter will cut through a line holding in the main parachute. Then the main parachute is deployed and the rocket will descend at around 7 to 8 metres per second. And when that hits the ground at that speed, virtually all of our instruments will remain intact and adequate for reuse.
Now, moving on from there, I believe you're actually building a third version.
Your OSROC 3 has been started. The baseline specification for that is for a rocket capable of lifting 100 kilograms to an altitude of 400 kilometers. This rocket would actually have quite a useful life as a sounding rocket, and could take experiments and perform a number of different commercial uses. OSROC 3 will have a control system. In both OSROCs 1 and 2, the engines were fixed, and once you fired them, they went like an arrow. You couldn't control them in flight. But OSROC 3, the engine itself will be gimbaled, which means we can swivel it to control the angle of thrust and control the direction that the rocket travels. It's a very ambitious project, and at this stage, there are 5 universities involved, with over 20 final year engineering students in the civil, mechanical, electrical and aerospace fields working on these projects. It's only a design study at this stage. There's been no commitment to actually make the vehicle yet. By the end of 1991, we should have a fair idea of how these projects are going and whether or not it's feasible to go ahead and actually make the vehicle. If we do, it'll be probably the largest rocket that has been made in Australia.
You mentioned that it's going to go up 400 kilometres. Is that actually in outer space?
Yes. You can actually achieve orbit with an altitude of around 200 kilometres. The orbit wouldn't last that long, but many of the early satellites only reached that kind of an altitude and after a few weeks decayed and came back down. So the rocket itself is reaching orbital altitude. However, the speed at which the rocket is travelling when it gets up to that altitude is very low. It actually just travels up, slows down, then falls back down to the ground. With an orbital rocket, it reaches that height, but at that height it's got a speed of 26,000 kilometres per hour, which is the speed required to keep a satellite in orbit. But in our case, it's just a sounding rocket. We'll reach a maximum speed of about 10,000 kilometres per hour, which is about half orbital speed, but we won't have the required impetus to send a payload into orbit.
So you just simply go up and back down again?
Yeah.
And how long would that take?
Well, the actual thrust is 80 seconds, and the thrust is about 4,000 kilograms for that duration. Now, after the 80 seconds, the rocket will continue to coast up until gravity slows it down. Now, we estimate at this stage that there will be about 10 minutes of microgravity time on board for the payload and experiments to actually perform some useful work.
And by microgravity, we mean?
Microgravity is once the rocket stops thrusting, the gravity of the Earth and the rocket itself being in free fall means that anything on board the rocket will be weightless and you won't fall down or anything, and anything is actually free floating. Now this is a situation that's highly desirable for a lot of chemical reactions and a lot of processing, and at the moment in the States and Europe there's a lot of interest in microgravity experimentation, especially with materials processing.
Are you hoping to eventually get into that sort of market?
Maybe not as a commercial entity, but when we actually, if we do get through the stage where we build and fire an OSROC 3, we will have payloads on board, possibly built by Australian universities, to take advantage of this microgravity environment and possibly get some results that are very useful.
And that would put Australian science in the forefront of the world research.
Yeah. Many years back, when Woomera was fully operational, they fired many sounding rockets. In fact, there were over 100 Skylark sounding rockets launched from Woomera in years past. But since the demise of the joint project and the pullout of the British, there's been little done in the sounding rocket field. There are many researchers around the country currently looking for such a vehicle to do work such as microgravity experimentation and high altitude observations. This vehicle can actually provide that kind of a service.
Well, thank you for joining us today on Southern FM on the Space Show.
No worries. Thanks for having me.